Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, mainly partly cloudy with a high of about 77. Might see an increase in clouds later on as the chance for thunderstorms and showers grows into the evening. We can't talk about it. That the response of the presidents of both the Mount Pleasant and Sturtevant Village boards after a closed joint meeting yesterday on the potential future development project in Racine County that was on their listed agenda. Dave DeGroot from Mount Pleasant asked by reporters afterward about comments made recently by House Speaker Paul Ryan and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the Foxconn company looking at Southeast Wisconsin, maybe even Racine County, to put a new manufacturing plant.
I can't speak on behalf of what Speaker Ryan
says or what Speaker Voss says. All I can do is control what's happening in the village of Mount Pleasant, and we can't talk about it.
Foxconn reportedly looking at sites in a number of states. It's the world's largest contract electronics maker. The company says it decision could be announced this month. Mount Pleasant's board still has only 6 members on it. The board last night again failing to approve the latest nominee for that vacant 7th seat. President Dave DeGroot had nominated former Community Development Authority Chair Pat Barlament, his 10th attempt to find somebody who could win support on a majority of the board members. Trustee Gary Feast believes the nominees brought to the board so far just have not been in the best interest of the village as a whole.
It seems that the list of people that have been brought before me, I have a firm belief with no proof, but a firm belief with my gut and years of experience in dealing with various people, that it's not necessarily the 7th trustee that's being nominated, it's the 4th vote.
Trustee John Hansen, who spent the day at the state capitol recently, said the stalemate not helping the village's image.
Mount Pleasant has become a total embarrassment throughout the entire state, just trying to get through this issue here with an additional member, and a lot of the embarrassment is not necessarily something that we need.
The appointment of Barlament losing on the same 3-3 tie vote that's happened in the past. A few more safeguards put into the original ordinance, and the Public Safety and Welfare Committee in Kenosha approves the measure last night, sending it on to the council with a 3-1 vote. The dissenter, Alderman Jan Makowski. He represents an older neighborhood with smaller lot sizes where the use of fire pits would be limited. Burning within 15 feet of a house, garage, or property line would still be illegal.
Very few people in my district will be able to legally burn, even if this passes. But because it's passed and people go, well, now you can burn, they're going to do it. They're going to put their backyard things. They're going to be illegal. And they're going to be, oh, wow, you know, I thought it was legal now. So I really don't think that this is a wise thing.
The Kenosha Council expected to vote on the ordinance next week. Meanwhile, most of the storm sewer system in Kenosha worked during Monday morning's deluge, but Mayor John Antaramian admits the system did fail and failed badly, with well over 4 inches of rain falling during just about 5 hours during the morning hours, causing significant flooding in a number of areas. Mayor Antaramian saying that at this point, they don't know how much work is going to have to be done for infrastructure or how much it's going to cost.
As we deal with one area, it may have impacts on other areas. And when I say impacts, I'm not talking about in a negative way, but in a positive way. So you could find that as you deal with, let's say, area Forest Park or area by Tremper, as you deal with some of those areas, it may have impacts in the surrounding area that will resolve other issues that are smaller, but resolve those issues also.
Says the work is already underway on the engineering to determine how to deal with the inadequacies. A new federal court ruling to cut down on the use of solitary confinement and pepper spray for teen inmates at the Lincoln Hill School for Boys and Copper Lake School for Girls. Solitary confinement being reduced to a maximum 7 days. Pepper spray cannot be used unless an inmate presents a threat to others. The facility scrutinized over allegations of abuse at the prison, including a Racine County youth's 2012 beating and sexual abuse. Racine's Finance and Personnel Committee backs the recommended settlement of a lawsuit against the city and a police officer in an excessive force case involving a Park High School student in November of 2015. City Attorney Scott Letney explaining after a closed session of the committee, then an open session approval, what turns out to be a $400,000 settlement.
The city has self-insured retention, think of it as a deductible, for $225,000. City's insurance through City's and Village's Mutual Insurance Company will pick up the rest. The attorney fees the city has paid already actually apply towards that $225,000 self-insured retention. It's around $60,000 so far. So we'll pay the balance of that up to the $225,000, and then CVMIC will pay the rest.
The complaint alleged that Officer Brunel Neighbors threw the 14-year-old student to the ground, punched him and slammed him against some lockers while another officer failed to intervene. Related charges against the student were eventually dropped. Officer Neighbors placed on administrative leave after the incident and an investigation launched by the State Department of Criminal Investigations. Settlement of the lawsuit may lead to the next step in the DCI process. A Kenosha woman, 42-year-old Jennifer Bixby, who allegedly said she took scrap metal from a Town of Yorkville business to get extra money for her son's birthday party, is now facing charges in Racine County, second-degree reckless endangerment of safety and misdemeanor theft. Sheriff's deputies responded to Racine Metal Fab last Saturday morning on a possible theft. One of the deputies spotted a truck that matched the description of a vehicle seen at the business. A resulting chase reached speeds of more than 100 miles per hour. Heading north on the interstate, it's alleged Bixby's truck, doing about 60, passed within 4 feet of some squad cars of two state troopers doing a traffic stop. Bixby allegedly told deputies a friend had been taking scrap from the business for the past few nights and told her about it. A passenger in her truck, 36-year-old David Stitch, also charged with misdemeanor theft and bail jumping. One glitch, one costly addition, part of the summer projects update to the Racine Unified School Board during their work session. Chief Operations Officer David Hazen said the one project that is somewhat delayed, the CTE building at Horlick, because he said the steel for the framing isn't yet available.
The steel for that project has been backlogged or backordered, so we think October for that. We're going to push like crazy, but there's only so many things. And even though that project is very important, $500,000 plus to some of these steel people, it's not a big deal, so we don't have a lot of clout. Working with the school, they'll be able to have their program start. They just won't be in that space. And then the remodel at Horlick really has just gotten started.
The track rebuild at Hammes Field, he said, next case, that's going to cost another $146,000 due to foundation issues.
When they cut it, there's still a thin layer, but it's coming off in sheets, and all you have is the compacted gravel and dirt underneath. So in order to do it right, and these one of those things, the Hammes Field was done back in 1998, maybe, 99. So it's had a life, and we've got to replace it.
Other than those two situations, he said the Real School and Northwestern Avenue building work were on schedule. After 36 years with the Mount Pleasant Police Department, Captain Tom Peterson retired last Friday and was recognized for his years of service by the village board last night. He noted some rather important events in his life that coincided with some of his milestones on the force.
I was promoted to my first supervisory position on the 25th day of April 1986, and I know that because that was the day my daughter was born. At 8:35 in the morning, and I was before the board that evening to be recognized as a sergeant for the Mount Pleasant Police Department. And today, I stand before you to be, I guess for lack of a different term, decommissioned. And my daughter is 31 years old, so that's how long I've been a supervisor for the village of Mount Pleasant. And at 8:30 this morning, I became a grandpa.
Peterson presented with a plaque by village president Dave DeGroote and got a standing ovation from the Board of Trustees. Oh, and if you see anybody dressed like a cow at the Chick-fil-A restaurant on Washington Avenue on the Racine-Mount Pleasant border, the reason is free food today. It's the 13th year the fast food chain has celebrated its Cow Appreciation Day. A free meal for anybody who comes into the restaurant dressed like a cow or, yes, cow-spotted accessories will count. After being stalled since shortly after the April election by newly elected village president Dave DeGroote, the process of hiring a new administrator for the village of Mount Pleasant is back on track. The village board last night deciding to restart the process with the same candidates, seven of them who applied for that position before the process was put on hold. But if too many have decided to drop out, to also accept additional applications for a short period of time. Rob Richardson helped facilitate the hiring of the new community development director. He's agreed to oversee this selection process.
That we'd run somewhat the same process where we would have, in this case, somebody for the administrative support staff do the communication and the scheduling of the panel of the candidates, but that then I would moderate like we did with the last ones, and we would have a panel that would consist of Tim as the current interim, and then likely two other active administrators from the area.
Trustee Gary Feast, who strongly protested the decision to put the process on hold, supports getting things moving again.
It has been my feeling that we should have had an administrator in here by now. That has not been the case. There was some discussion about if the pool had shrunk, that maybe we would open it up for 2 weeks. I could live with 2 weeks. if necessary.
Meanwhile, the board also decided to wait until the administrator's on board before restarting the process of hiring an HR director. With the announcement that Racine Mayor John Dickert will be resigning from office in less than a week and Council President Dennis Weiser taking the oath of office as the acting mayor the morning of July 17th, the wheels now start to move on more than just holding a special election. Though first and foremost, the council can now pick a date to hold that special election, staff recommending, of course, November 7th to accommodate everything that has to be done. Another committee of the whole meeting will be held soon to start that process. The council will also have to decide on a new president for their group since Weiser leaves that position, and a new alderman for the 10th District will have to be found, which the council will also determine. Racine's Public Works and Services Committee, during its 5:30 meeting this evening at City Hall, going to revisit the issue of collecting bulky waste and green waste to go with the new semi-automated solid waste cart collection system. That system starting up on September 18th. DPW Commissioner Mark Yalen's revised proposal at the last meeting got a rather lukewarm reception, including the option for the public to buy an additional cart to put in just yard materials like grass clippings.
City doesn't mandate that people garden. City mandates to keep their grass cut, but we don't mandate that they garden, you know. And people, there's a lot of folks who loved it. But once again, I mean, the state mandated in 1993 that this does not go to the landfill.
He pointed out that with the community meetings held last year, citizens were told changes were coming to bulky waste and that a call-and-pickup system was likely.
We did emphasize that we were looking very strongly at a call-in system. We also talked about we could possibly have a scheduled pickup system similar to Kenosha. Take a look at the city of Beloit. They don't do any collections at all of bulky items. There's a different size for every municipality out there.
The current proposal on green waste allows for mulching, composting, buying another cart, or taking materials to one of three designated sites. Bulky waste remains thus far two free pickups per year, though that may be expanded to one per season based on committee comments to date. Caledonia's Village Board set to get a Year 2 progress report on Racine Unified's Raising Racine Education Initiative during a 6 p.m. meeting at the new Village Hall. Superintendent Lolly Haw is going to be there, along with Dominic Cariello from Badger Meter, who's been a driving force in the district's emphasis on educating not only students for higher education, but also for jobs that need to be filled in the future. And the City of Kenosha and the Kenosha Public Library hosting a free outdoor performance of Shakespeare and opera at the Panoia Park Bandshell beginning at 1:30 p.m. this coming Saturday, July the 15th. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.